And budget City of Ithaca municipal sales tax agreement. I would move that.
And Lesson seconds that.
And we don't have enough people to vote on that, I don't think.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Yeah, we do. We're good. Okay. Any discussion? Ready to vote on D? All in favor, please raise your hand.
What are we voting on? Sorry.
D.
Resolution D.
Thank you.
Which is what?
Sales tax agreement. All in favor, please raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13. Okay. Any opposed? That's unanimous.
Thank you. Resolution E, in your folder, there was a yellow copy of E with a underline whereas by Julie Kiefer, and I agree that that should have been in there. If you look at line 13 and 14 on your white sheet that came with the agenda, you will see what the difference is. Let me move Resolution E, the new one. Establishment of guidelines and fiscal targets for all county budgeting units for the preparation of the 2012 budget. And I would move that.
And seconded by Brian. All right, discussion. Joe, would you take us through the sheet of paper on the left side of our folders?
Yes. I will. Frank Proto requested this. I mean, we've talked a lot about the large numbers that are reflected in the resolution in terms of how much will have to be cut if we were to make these targets. Frank had asked for a department-by-department breakdown. What's it mean for each of the departments who were affected by this? And that's the estimate that we have provided here, and I can read across. So the first item you see there is Animal Control, SPCA. So the target budget for 2012, and when we say target budget, it means for most of our departments, what their budget was in 2011, we pull out their fringe rate, we plug in the new revised fringe rate to develop an adjusted budget target. That's what you see for the 2012 target. And then we've shown what that budget looks like after a 7.8% cut. For animal control, you can see that that's a decline to $30,754 and that's a $2,600 reduction. And then what if the cuts were 11.2% to meet that 2% levy goal? Well, in that case, in case of animal control, it drops to $29,620, and that's a loss of $3,700 in that small budget. So that's the way you read these estimates all the way down until you get to the final bottom line, where you see that 7.8% cut is about $3.2 million. The 11.2% cut is about $4.5 million in actual spending reductions. And the last thing I would say there is these are reductions to locally controlled expenses. Half of our local budget we don't control. So we can't apply our cuts to that portion of the mandated and fixed side of our budget. So this is either a 7.8 or 11.2% cut of our locally controlled expenses.
Thank you, Joe. I have a couple of questions about this. Number one, can we make sure that the legislators who aren't here also get this? And when you say this is the local budget, so look at social services. So their 2012 target is about $4 million. But that's by far not their full budget.
Well, that's correct. It's a small portion. For example, Medicaid alone is almost $12 million, so that doesn't show up here. This is the portion of the DSS budget that we would probably call mandated responsibilities. They do work that we have to do because we're told to do it, but we're given some latitude in how we do it. We include that in the group of expenditures that would have to be cut to meet our budget targets.
Okay. And one more time, the fringe rate, you said we pulled out the 2011 fringe rate and plugged in the 2012 fringe rate.
Correct.
Could you give us those two rates?
By memory, the 2011 is about 51%, and the 2012 is expected to rise to over 56%.
Say them again, Joe.
51 is 2011, and 56 is 2012, and that is largely because of pension cost increases.
So if somebody is in the, on the county website and they, you know, when we get the, these documents posted and they look at it and they say, well, what do they mean cuts? Everything went up. What you're saying is that that's, I mean, the fringe rate right there is up more than 5%. So, well, more than 5 points, which is almost a 10% increase in the fringe rate.
That's right.
Brian.
So, Joe, what we're looking at on this sheet would be things that, using our program sheets from last year, would be, they would have discretionary in it somewhere?
That's a good way of looking at it, Brian. Yeah, yes.
It's either mandated discretionary or discretionary or discretionary.
That's exactly right.
Okay. And the second part of that is these are just straight across the board reductions.
That's right.
We don't necessarily, we aren't necessarily going to have a recommended budget that is across the board, or are we? Or we don't have to. Let's put it that way.
You don't have to. I mean, it has to begin this way. So the only way you can start is to apportion this cut equally across the board.
Okay. And then we apply the P word that we're not supposed to say?
Which is prioritization?
Yeah.
Well, the budget will come to me. The departments will all, and they're very good at this. They're all very good, in spite of the pain that a budget like this will cause. They will present a budget that is within these parameters. They will ask for OTRs. Those budgets will come to me within some limits. I can reorder some of that spending. As you know, I did some of that last year. If there are additional resources that we find over the course of the summer, I can use that to support some OTRs. So by the time it gets to you, it probably is not going to be an across-the-board cut. It'll be, right. Again, I understand there are limits on what I can do, but it won't be across the board. When it comes to you, again, that's another place where resources can be moved either from Program A or Department A to Department B, or by the way, you support OTRs that then result in something other than an across-the-board approach.
Jim and Frank and Carol.
I'm really happy that Brian asked that question about across the board. As you all know, who have been here any length of time, that the corners are pretty rounded off most of these budgets right now. And I think as we move through the summer and into the fall with this, that you're absolutely right that our Brian and then a question, and Joe has to start where he's going to start, but I don't think we'll survive a process that has across-the-board cuts in every department. I just put some X's by about 10 departments who are all over $1 million and some really close to $1 million, and the numbers are staggering beside them that have to be reduced. And when you start thinking about how you're going to reduce something, I mean, I might as well say it now because I know I will have to say it, that we have to be looking at positions. And if you wanted to start with the number, you may start with the number, a basic county position is $75,000 with fringe cost, I think. So you know what you have to make up. You know the way we go about doing it. You can do the math, and you can figure out what we potentially could be looking at down the road. Brian also mentioned the secret word priority. I have a priority that I'm thinking about already, and that priority is if we have a program that we can get done by someone else and maintain a value to that program, then that's one I have to look at, and I think the legislature has to look at, that the county doesn't do anymore. And, you know, I just throw that on the table in June, but that's a priority that I'm going to operate with, that if it can get done somewhere else, at not a county taxpayer expense, then I think that's something we have to look seriously at. And I realize that there are 14 other people here, and they will all have priorities, and the public will have priorities. But that's a beginning point for me.
Frank, and then Carol.
Thanks, Martha. Joe, I really want to thank you for pulling this together so quickly.
Very well.
My intention in asking for this was hopefully to give us an opportunity to kind of categorize them by committee and see which, as one of the criteria. Obviously, I'm very concerned about Health and Human Services, and I more or less did the same thing Jim just described. And it's pretty awesome to see what the numbers might be. And, of course, there's a mix and match. We need to see what the effects are across some of the departments and even across some of the committees, because some influence others. While I agree with Jim on one point about looking at where else a service may be delivered, without mentioning a particular service, I think it's also important to recognize that some things deserve a chance to survive, and we're a victim of our own success in some of the in some of what we've already done in attracting certain categories and certain individuals, affordable housing, and we can go on and on and on. And a lot of that exists in health and human services, the attraction for support. I don't think that we can survive an across-the-board cut, and both Jim and Brian have said that already. This is not to be reflective of that. But I think as we move through the summer, this gives you a picture of, and it's the best we have right now, right, Joe?
Yeah, it's still an estimate, but it's going to be pretty close.
Do the 2012 numbers reflect? Do any of these departments have rollover money left in them?
They do. It doesn't reflect that. So that is something that can come into play over the course of the development of the budget. So right now it doesn't include any of that. And by the way, there is language in here that Julie pointed out in the resolution itself that kind of sounds like it might be changing rollover policy. It talks about how you should do certain things without one-time funding or adjustments. I do want to assure you nothing is changing with respect to rollover.
Okay,
I don't think
the intention was to change the policy. Right?
No.
This is a place to begin as far as this gives us an idea with a guideline as to what these numbers could look like, and it's up to us to start looking at them by committee and by service. So thank you for doing this, Joe. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Frank. That's a good suggestion for committees as you work on your agendas for the next month or two. And remember, you've got the budget simulator. Mm-hmm. Everybody should have that in their inbox. And if you need help on it, go back and open it up. And you can't call Kevin till he comes back from his trip across country, but call Joe. Carol?
Yeah, looking at this chart, if there's anybody out there in TV land watching who feels that their income tax got unfairly cut, now's the time to send in your donation to Tompkins County or to your favorite program. My question on the chart, I have two questions, one on the chart and one on the resolution. Joe, the chart, this reflects on the percentage related to a reduction, the 7.8 or the 11.2, related to the property tax portion of our budget. Is there any assumption built into here in terms of sales tax and where that will go or how that would be?
Yeah, to arrive at these numbers to project where the budget is going to be next year, the maintenance of effort budget, which is the starting point, we did assume sales tax growth of 2.5%. For next year. So that's already built into the numbers, the assumption that some growth will be paid for by an increase in the sales tax. I mean, natural growth of the sales tax, not an increase in the rate.
Okay. But that still, the assumption is that would be, but we're working at this level of the game, we're working it in across the board not deciding to apportion.
That's correct.
Okay. And then in terms of the resolution itself, can somebody refresh my memory as to whether this, the suggestion that Joe and our departments be asked to prepare two budgets, essentially, did that come from the budget committee or did that come at an earlier stage in our process from the sort of legislature as a whole?
Well, it came from the retreat and it followed quickly to the budget committee because we were trying to, in this resolution, give a sense of what came out of the retreat.
Okay. I just was trying, I was remembering stuff from the retreat about Joe offering to do two budgets and some of us saying that's an awful lot of extra work. Should he just do one and then we make our assumptions from there?
My sense is that what we said was two scenarios, and whether that means he's going to come with two separate budgets, I don't believe that is going to happen. But, you know, clearly going into the process with the department heads, they had to understand what we said, and we said a 2% tax cap and a 5.4. And you know, there we are.
Okay. And the Thank default you. Budget would be 5.4. Yeah. I mean, that's the recommended budget we've asked for is 5.4, which is corresponds to that 7.8% column.
I mean, I personally, just speaking for, just for myself, I would have been happy to have him just do the 5.4.
Well,
and
the problem with just doing a 5.4 is if the legislation is passed by the state legislature and the 2% tax cap, and you have to have a two-thirds vote of the ledge to get over with it. If there's not two-thirds of the group that will support it, then we're at a 2% level, and that roughly means $812,000 revenue out of that 2%.
I have a couple of questions. Number one, capital expenses, or is there an assumption here about the capital program?
That it's flat. In fact, debt service, I think, is going to go down a little bit next year. That's been taken into account in the maintenance of effort projection. Everything else would be flat.
So if we have to take on a new project, like, say, moving out of this room?
Yes.
Or something else that...
That's not included.
Not included in here.
That's
okay.
Correct.
And do we have any idea legally whether... The legislation they're looking at in Albany about the tax cap. Now, our legal position is that if we can't approve a budget, it defaults to the legislator's recommended budget. If we can't...
The administrator.
I'm pointing to the administrator. I'm sorry. The administrator's budget. If we can't approve either... If we can't approve a budget... Does it default to let's say they pass a cap, does it default to 2% or does it go to your budget?
That's a really good question. I would think anything above a cap requires a supermajority of the legislature. So if I've recommended something beyond cap, I don't know that that would work. It's a great question that I'll probably ask Jonathan to research, but I think anything above 2, if the law passes, needs a supermajority.
Well, the law as it currently stands is clear. How it might change in the new law is what's unknown. And the law as it currently stands is it's the county administrator's budget, and there is no other provision of law, period. So when they pass the tax cap, how they're going to deal with that issue is a question, but they should deal with that issue. But at the moment, the law is clear.
Because we could just turn down your budget,
right.
Turn down any other budget, and we end up with the 5. Okay. All right. I've been meaning to ask that. Any other questions or a comment on this resolution? Ready to vote on the resolution as the revised one as Jim has moved it. All in favor of Resolution E, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you, Jim.
Yes, we have a meeting scheduled for Monday at 3:30, and I also have a member file resolution later on in the show. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Les McClaire, Claiborne Chair.
Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee met last month.
At some point, I don't remember. Anyhow, the bulk of our discussions was around the resolution that was pulled from the agenda concerning secure communities, as well as the member-filed resolution regarding the Africana Studies and Research Center that is in our packet. We continue to work on our diversity plan, and we'll continue to work on it so that we can have a better document for presentation to the legislature. That's my report.
Thank you, Leslie. Any questions?
There is, out of that meeting, there is still some, and I don't know if it's being clarified, I saw a brief email, confusion about whether the whether our Sheriff's Department is a participant in the Secure Communities program, and it still seems to be shrouded in a little bit of mystery of whether we are or not, so we're continuing to try to clarify that as we move forward with it.
Okay, thank you very much. Health and Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Health Committee will be meeting tomorrow at 3:30. We've moved the meeting to the Rice Conference Room. The business part of the meeting will be conducted at the regular time from 3:30 on. With Joe's leadership, we have scheduled the representatives from HCR, the non-governmental CHA folks, to come in at 5:30. They may be there slightly before that. I want to remind the legislature that these folks are the ones that were invited and unable to come to the public session we had a couple of weeks ago. This is not a sales pitch opportunity for them. They are simply there to answer questions that obviously they were, because they weren't able to attend the meeting a couple of weeks back. And I wanted to provide enough time on the agenda to have any of the legislators, that any of you that can attend, in addition to our five committee members, ask them questions. And my understanding is they're going to have three or four representatives come. Two representatives be there tomorrow. We moved it to Rice simply because we're expecting that there'll be members of the public, as there were before, for this part of the meeting. I asked Karen to make arrangements for taping that part of the meeting, respecting the fact that some of you may not be able to make it. And we hope that we'll have some candid discussions with them, what they can tell us in public room. But that's to take place tomorrow. That's probably going to be the most time-consuming part of the meeting. We budgeted an hour. I don't know how long it's going to take. We'll have to play it by ear, but I'll be chairing that part of the meeting also.
So in case the other business is finished early, but you're still going to start that part at 5:30?
Well, if they get there a little bit early, we may want to do something a little bit earlier. But on the other hand, respecting the fact that there may not be people who arrive until 5:30 that want to ask their questions, we may take a break and talk to each other for a little while. A reminder also that the committee is meeting on the 14th, which is a week from today, and we'll be deliberating on where we go from here with the home health agency, the county's home health agency. I'll be putting together the agenda packet for that meeting with Karen probably tomorrow, and there will be several resolutions, including the one that's been redrafted by Nate, that will probably be included in that, so that you have an opportunity, the committee will have an opportunity to review those prior to the meeting. That's next Tuesday, 3:30, also at Rice, and that will also be taped. we want to make sure there's enough of an opportunity for people to ask questions. But that will be a voting meeting. There's a comment that I want to make regarding, you know, a week or so ago I had an op-ed piece in regarding this very topic. And I just wanted to clarify one item or two items in there. There was some interest in how the organizations in the county were either supportive or not supportive. While I know that a number of agencies are, health agencies are very concerned about the quality of care, I reread the article purposely more than once. My intention certainly wasn't to promote one side or the other for an agency, but after I read it, I could see where, because I had mentioned, not by name, mind you, but I had alluded to the fact that our hospital was concerned about health care. One could read into that that they were supportive of one position or the other. And I want to clarify that they have been very careful about making sure that they will support whatever decision this legislature makes. They're perfectly... they understand that that's our decision, not anyone else's, and it's important that you understand that, and the public understands, that they have not come out supportive or non-supportive of any particular position, just that they are willing to work with whatever the outcome is that this legislature determines. And I suspect that there are other agencies that are in that same boat, because quality of care is a top priority for all of us. But I wanted, as I reread that, I could see where one could draw that conclusion. I thought it might be a good idea just to mention it out loud. Hopefully, I hope all of you can come tomorrow, or as many of you that can make it tomorrow. That's it.
Thank you, Frank. Any questions for Frank? Jim?
No, it's not a question.
Oh. Any questions for Frank? All right, Jim.
I neglected to vote on the alleged and neglected, well, it's my fault. The item I added to the agenda about public hearing, TC3, we did not vote on that.
Okay, we're all set with HHS, so go ahead, go back to that, Michelle.
Authorization for a public hearing, Tompkins Cortland Community College, operating budget 2011-2012, which will be held June 21st, 2011, right here. And I would move that.
Seconded by Dave. Okay. Any questions? Ready to vote. All in favor of this resolution, J, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous.
Thank you for allowing me to do that.
Okay. That's fine. Capital Plan Review Committee. We met this afternoon at 5:20. And voted on Resolution G, and that was that's the only action we've taken since the last legislature meeting. We will meet on Thursday, 3:30. It looks like a really like skimpy agenda, but it's going to be lively and interesting. So we will have a lot of decisions to chew over. So 3:30 Thursday for CPR. Any questions on that? Okay. Resolution H, Jim.
Thank you. This is a member file supporting permanent thresholds on locally determined taxes to be established by New York State, and I would move that.
Is there a second? Brian seconds that, and the plan, this list of the thresholds is in your red folder.
It's a list of items that we actually, the committee mailed a letter or faxed a letter to the most important people in Albany, plus NYSAC. And I actually read on the NYSAC website a little comment by the director that why are they doing these things every 2 years, and we've been doing it for 30 years this way. So whatever little message we sent, and maybe some other counties might have gotten through. So I think it's important that we send the bigger package with this resolution.
Thank you, Jim. Any other discussion? Julie.
I will ask you to please consider flipping the last whereas with the next to the last whereas, so that the reasoning is, whereas the New York State Legislature is nearing the end of its 2011 session and time is of the essence in putting this proposal before state lawmakers, and whereas the committee therefore authorized its chair to act on its behalf in preparing and distributing a letter to appropriate state officials proposing the plan to raise thresholds on revenue sources, and the chair subsequently sent said letter.
Yes, I'm fine with
that. That I think it's...
Yes, I'm fine with
history.
Brian, you second it? That's okay. Friendly to you?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Dooley. Ready to vote? All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? One opposed. That's 12 to 1. It passes. All right. Thank you, Jim. Leslin, Resolution I.
Resolution I, resolution to Cornell University administrators regarding proposed change in status for Africana Studies and Research Center. Some member filed resolution.
Yes, is there a second? Nathan seconds that. Nathan? I can't. Do you want to say something, Frank? I'm sorry, Nathan, go ahead.
Does Leslin want to speak for first?
No, go ahead, Nathan. I'll respond.
I'm glad that Leslin is bringing forth this resolution regarding the Africana Center tonight. I was a student of the Africana Center. I took, I believe, about 30 credits or so in the Africana Center and was very close to Professor James Turner, who was a mentor for me when I was a student, and actually helped me become a community-minded person, and I believe greatly led to me deciding to stay in Ithaca and actually run for office. And that just really shows the community interest of the Africana Center. The Africana Center, in its daily mission, is about community. And in fact, that's how many ethnic studies programs were created. I think what we're asking is that, you know, the Africana Center be treated like any other established department at Cornell. You know, if you're the English department, you can hire professors. You can recommend, with your power alone in the English department, tenure to professors, and you have tenure to the board for professors, and you have power over discretionary funding. Those are basic requirements for any department, any established department. Yeah, any established department. Now there are many hybrid departments throughout Cornell. And unfortunately, when I was at Cornell, I was part of the Asian American Studies Department. And what happened to that Asian American Studies Department is that they created dual lines. So professors were both members of English and Asian American Studies. And what ended up happening is that our professors, their tenure was based on those established departments. So if it was, say, history, it was based on history. So professors dedicated their time and their energy on history department first. And, of course, they didn't completely ignore Asian American Studies, but they've dedicated their energy to the established department first in order to get their tenure. I'm afraid that this change that's happening in the Africana Center actually will make the department worse off. And I think that it's best that we ask that the Africana Center be treated like any other department and have control over their own future. Right now, the current proposal gives them, yes, more money, but it gives them more money to other departments so that they can hire Africana-linked professors. I'm sorry, I'm kind of being vague here. Let me start again. So what's happening with the Africana Center is that, yes, they are moving into the under the purview, under Arts and Sciences, before they reported directly to the provost. Before this change, they had power to appoint Africana Studies professors. And those professors could be recommended for tenure by Africana Studies, just like they are in departments like history and English and other established departments. This change is supposedly for the best interest at the Africana Center and supposedly gives them more money, but what it actually does is it weakens their strength and ability to recruit professors, to recommend tenure, and to have power over the discretionary spending. And that's why students are upset about it. That's why faculty are upset about it. And that's why I'm upset about it. And that's why I support this resolution today.
So as I said earlier under my WDIC report, we did have a good discussion at WDIC about this issue.
I know there's been a lot of emails, information going back and forth, and appreciate Gary Stewart, who I think is the Assistant Director of Community Relations, sharing some of the information he has. The resolution that I'm proposing at this point is that we talked about at WAIC, is asking respectfully the university to sort of stay the decision right now, delay moving forward, and to engage in a dialogue with the people who are affected, who are feeling that they're not being heard. So I've seen the emails go back and forth about how many conversations have been had. But I also recognize, and I don't know whose side is right, whose side is wrong, but obviously there's been a big hoopla in this community and elsewhere about what's going on with Africana. There's history with Africana, lots of history. Lots of history about why it was built in the first place and why it's there. And so so the conflict continues to sort of simmer. It's there with people feeling they're not being heard. It does involve this community because there are ripple effects of things like this that fall out into a community. Nathan, as a student of Africana, speaks to the value of the center to the community. I'm not asking the university in this resolution to change their mind. What I'm asking is for, and what the committee supported, was asking for a more directed dialogue. There have been dialogues. I listened to a recording of one of the last meetings, and I think it involved many more than just the people of Africana. And I think there's a feeling that each time there's a meeting, it's not just the folks who are directly affected and the administration, but others who will, you know, play a role in this. And so there's that request. So can we please, just those of us who are here, who this is being taken away from, have this dialogue. So that is the purpose of this resolution, as a body weighing in on something that's affecting our entire county. And there it is. I saw from Carol, I think a couple of, that you, Carol? Yeah. Whereases, which seemed fine to me, if there was a place you wanted to add them. Because we do recognize that Colonel has to make some tough decisions and has the right to make their decisions. While we also recognize as a community, we do get involved in issues and we do speak out on things that are of importance and matter to us.
Carol, Mike, and Jim.
Yeah, thanks. I share the concerns that decisions about Africana studies, I share the concerns that the university is making a decision that I don't think is in the interest of the university. I have a personal relationship with that whole era and issue. I was a freshman the year of the Strait takeover. I was outside of the Strait. I lived on a corridor of all black and Puerto Rican women, except for two of us. So I really shared in a very personal way the concerns and the events that went on that year, and in a political way. And I have been very active as an alumna of Cornell University in making sure that dialogue continued, putting on panels, reunion panels, and fostering discussion, including one that James Turner played a large role on, as did others. So I share the concern. I, My mother wrote a letter to the New York Times that was actually published about the formation of Africana Studies. So I go way back with this issue. I do have a concern if I were a private entity in our community at being told by another body how to run my business. So I have mixed feelings. So while I share it personally, I was grappling with the question of sort of who are we to advise Cornell how to make their decision, which is what led me to propose these amendments, because I do think that we have to answer that question. And so by the first whereas that I was proposing there tries to speak to why it is that we feel we should weigh in, and that has to do with that the center, because of how public it was and because of the role it's played in our community, and because of the ways in which it, the formation of Africana Studies and the continuation and the success of it has engendered national discussion, front page of New York Times kind of discussion. It has become part of the history of Tompkins County. I have had visitors and seen visitors who came because of Africana Studies, and it certainly, I think, contributes to the work that we do on the tourism board engendering, attracting visitors and promoting community pride. So I wanted us to weigh in on that. I thought it should go after the very first whereas, as the second one. We're introducing the notion that we're talking about this in the first, and then right away we should say, why is it that Tompkins County is weighing in on this? But I also think that it's important for us to recognize that what I want to ask for is that there be a listening on the part of the university to the fact that we have concerns as a county, but not necessarily an expectation that we make the decision for them. So I added the second whereas right after that, which is that we recognize that Cornell University must make its own academic decisions that takes into account many factors. I understand the university's concern that some of the facts that they deal with are their own facts. Nathan, I appreciate that different departments get to make decisions about money. I don't think it's entirely accurate, and I understand why Cornell would be.
I said established departments. There are many, many small programs that have joint appointments, not departments that are specific, powerful departments that have choice over tenure.
I do want to recognize that Cornell has endowments. Any department or Africana Studies, if they have endowment that's specifically for that department, they have to spend the money there. But like other entities, like us, they also get to make decisions. The dean in the case of a college, or the provost in the case, decide what somebody's budget.
This, what you handed out, would become whereas 2 and 3. Is that what you're saying?
And that is friendly,
Leslie, Nathan.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So that is now the text. So I've got Mike, Jim, Dooley, and Pam. Let me first point out that in your red folder is a printout of the message that Gary Stewart sent to all of us earlier today. A two-page thing.
I'm sorry, can I have one other change that I want to ask for?
Okay.
And it was
on your whereases?
No, it's not.
All right, we'll come back to you, Carol. Mike?
I just have to plead some ignorance on this entire issue. I'm not a Cornellian, and reading this, it seems to me this is something that is quite internal to the Cornell community here. I'm not totally sure why we're taking this up, other than it's a member file. But, Leslie, I have a question. You talked about the committee talking about this. Is this a committee resolution? Has it been through a committee?
It did not come through a standing committee. It came through the Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, and it would have gone to budget, but budget will meet after this legislature meeting, and the decision was sort of imminent because we had learned that Cornell was going to make his decision as of June 1st. I have now read that implementation will be as of July 1st instead.
So what was the vote in the WDIC committee?
WDIC had a consensus.
Okay,
that we move forward with this.
So this wasn't adopted at that?
It wasn't adopted. We didn't have a quorum.
I see.
So
it was full consensus of the committee.
Okay, Jim?
It's very interesting to me. I think you have to see the document that came from Cornell, from Gary, and there are a number of things. Nathan's comments were made from the purview of a graduate of Cornell University with intimate knowledge of a program, and it tells me that Cornell University should be here talking about this, and they are not. It also tells me that we make decisions all the time, and we would really not want them to be making comments on our decisions at all. I would resent the fact that they might roll down the hill and have some input into our budget process, things like that. I think this decision has been talked about. Not only, I don't know, it sounds like it made it through Common Council, or whether it was passed or not, it was a discussion, but there were Cornell representatives there, and there are none here. I think it would be really not good of us to be inserting ourselves in something without even the ability to ask questions of people who are the actual implementers. Of a program. They've cut their workforce 15% in the last couple of years. We said nothing about that. They changed the direction of many programs at Cornell in the last 2 or 3 years. We said nothing about that. I don't believe we should be saying anything about this either.
Dooley, then Pam, then Nathan.
Well,
Carol, then Nathan.
I can understand Leslin and Nate representing community concerns. When I read this draft, it was clear to me there was no way I could support it because it makes sweeping statements that I know are not accurate and only represent one vision of what's going on there. I am fortunate in that where I work is the building next to the Cornell Sun, so I pick up Cornell Suns every day. So in addition to the Chronicle, where I get the university's view of things, I read the Sun, and they are not shy about criticizing the university. So I've tried to stay abreast of this, but I, too, was at Cornell during the time when Carol was a freshman, and know the huge upheaval that happened on that campus then, and the aftermath was very painful for many people, but something really good came out of it. The center was a leader for a long time. It's been less so in recent years, and I want to see it succeed, but I cannot support a resolution that goes about it in this way. And I agree with what Jim said, that if we were seriously going to talk about this, we should have made sure that other points of view were represented, not just those of legislators.
Pam, Carol, Nathan, Leslin, and then I will put myself in.
Well, I'm not sure that it's our responsibility to get Cornell here. I would assume that they could come on their own. But, you know, the whole town gown thing, the whole county in Cornell thing, it's always a complicated thing. And, I mean, for example, they didn't come down and talk to us about budget. Well, I think that we would be delighted if they came around and talked to us about our budget if they actually gave us some money. But I think that in this situation, that we have worked hard, and I think Cornell has worked very hard too, to increase the communication, increase the getting people down off the hill, becoming part of the community, bringing a department downtown, and which helped our economy downtown. You know, we're doing better, but I think that one of the ways that the Africana Center has integrated itself into our community is at a much deeper level than many of the other departments. And I was at the Common Council meeting when people were talking about what the impact that this department has had for the African American community in Ithaca over the years. And I too was around at the time when the Strait takeover took place. And so I have some historical perspective on that too. So this communication, this reaching out to this community, this sharing resources, and is, I think, a very, very important piece. And I think that I think it's in the interest of all of us. I think it's in the interest of the county legislature, in the interest of all the citizens of this county, to encourage that kind of relationship, that level of involvement in our community. And this really feels like a step back. And so I don't agree with all of the whereases in here, but at the base, I support this, and I will vote for it.
Carol.
Yeah, there's just, regardless of whether we vote on it tonight or it comes back to us, line 19, there's some words in here that I absolutely can't support. So I at least wanted to clear up changing the words "handed down a unilateral decision," change to just the word "decided." One of the issues at dispute on campus is how much communication there was about the decision. And so I don't have the information to decide whether it was unilateral or not.
So Carol decided it's fine.
That's fine.
Okay.
Then Nathan, Leslin, myself, and Pat.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to go point by point against Gary's letter here, but I'm not going to waste everybody's time with that. Other than just saying that these statements aren't the full FYI. I mean, they're not the full FYI. There should be a sentence attached to every single one of his points. And especially the fact that, you know, his first point talks so much about dialogue, but all that dialogue happened after they made the decision and they affirmed that decision. Yes. The meeting with action reps, with CU staff, faculty, and students, and local leadership all happened after a decision was made. That's what happened. Now, you can talk about, now there may be dispute about whether it was talked about with certain specific faculty members, and I'm not talking about that, but they're saying the way that it is written here, it makes it sound like there's been considerable dialogue about this, and there needs to be said that it was considerable dialogue after the decision was made, and that's a key point about this whole thing. But the thing I want to say the most, though, is that, you know, Cornell, it's not a private institution alone. It is a land-grant institution. It receives support from New York State. It has members of the New York of the board of member of the board of trustees that's recommended by the Assembly of New York State. So it is a member of this community, contributes to this community, and we should be able to voice our concerns over an institution in which our taxpayer dollars go to.
Leslin.
Nathan said some of what I was about to say. I was curious to ask Dooley, I'm not sure what sweeping statement she was referring to in this resolution, but also just want to point out, you know, clearly there are two sides to everything. I've said that before. Similar to, you know, there's a document from Gary. There's also similarly more documents from the people who are concerned about what's happening with Africana. And like Nathan said, I, you know, can probably go line by line. I clearly don't know all the facts. Like I said, this is a matter of Pam took the right words in terms of town-gown relationship and what it does for our community. I said on the radio this morning, you know, the question is, you know, why are we getting involved? Let me back up for a second. No, the people who were at the city council meeting were the people who were concerned about Africana. Cornell University representatives did not come down to speak to this issue. We got, similarly to the email that Gary sent out, I think that was very similar to what went to the city council folks as well. on the radio this morning, it was very interesting being asked a question about, you know, why, you know, would it matter to us? Cornelius is an institution in Tompkins County, so it should matter to us. I alluded to, you know, things that happen within our community, for example, the issues at the school district several years ago that ended up making the newspaper of the New York Times, you know, conversation there, and how that looked for our community. What does it mean for our community when people read about what is happening in Tompkins County, their issues of children engaging in discriminatory, prejudiced, racist behaviors at a school and hurt and bullying and hurting each other? What does that mean? And the community got very involved and very engaged. Cornell got very involved and very engaged in saying, you are going to have some dialogue here. The Department of Justice got involved and very engaged. Certainly we're not at that level and trying to avoid things like that and saying, can people sit down and come to some mutually agreed upon understanding of the folks from Africana, understanding what are they going to get out of this? What would it mean for them? What would they like to see? And Colonel saying, here's what we can do. And can we agree on some of those things? This resolution is just a matter of saying, let's engage in respectful stakeholder dialogue, because even from each of these, it doesn't seem that that has been happening. And thanks, Nathan. I was going to mention land grant institution.
Okay. A brief comment, two questions. First, I was an Africana student before some of you were born, so had an independent study that was amazing. What did Common Council do with this? I wasn't clear.
I think there was a lot of discussion, but I don't think that it passed in Common Council.
I believe that, didn't they decide that it didn't come to their agenda in time to vote on it?
It was added as a new business item, and it was voted on. Mm-hmm. It was voted on. But it failed, you know, so it was voted on.
Okay, and then Leslie, you just said earlier that you thought that you had WDIC discuss it and you thought that the implementation date was June 1st. It now appears from Provost Fox's message that implementation is July 1st.
Right.
Does that mean that, for example, this could be referred to committee and then still come to the legislature on June 21st?
It's already here, but I'm not sure it's going to change any minds come the 21st. It's here.
Okay. Pat?
Well, part of what I was going to say has already been addressed by changing the language in line 19, because I was going to say if you're really trying to put the county in the position of sort of using its good offices to suggest a coming together and a meeting and more dialogue and so on, I don't think you advance that cause with that kind of language. And I think I can, in some circumstances, envision the legislature in its role as representing the community having reason to make a statement to Cornell or any other institution in the county under some circumstances. I would have difficulty though supporting this tonight. And I don't know whether I would be able to support it if it goes to committee, because I don't know what would come out of committee. But given that there are statements made here, and I hear what you're saying, Nathan, and I hear what you're saying, Leslyn, but not having heard directly from anybody at Cornell, I mean, typically, if we were to go through a process, we would invite someone who had the other point of view to come to a committee meeting to speak about whatever that point of view is. I wouldn't expect that they would have to, you know, come down and just speak up during public comment or something, you know, to that effect. So it seems to me that there's a part of a process that's really missing here. And that being the case, I don't feel like I can support this resolution at this point in time and under these circumstances. Whether it could be rewritten in such a way that I would be able to support it, I can't say for sure at this point, but I do think it needs to go through a standing committee process that includes differing viewpoints in the discussion.
Anyone else? Brian.
I've always tried really hard with any decisions that we make here, not to do it with your heart, but with your head. And that's going to hold very true budget time this year, hopefully. And to me, this seems to be, I hear what's going on. However, at the end of the day, for me, for us to interject ourselves directly into policy decisions made by Cornell University, I just don't see that myself. I will not be supporting this, and I would hope that kind of mentality reciprocates itself both ways, and that they don't see fit to interject themselves into budget or basically anything else that would involve this legislature.
Frank.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Going along with what Brian just said, I think in our hearts we understand what the situation is. Could we encourage or could we duplicate the situation that evolved around the putting forth those proposed changes that went to the state with regard to the sales tax, the mortgage tax? It came through the Budget Committee, and the Budget Committee gave Jim permission to write to the state with the support of that resolution. Could we encourage Leslin, as chair of WDIC, with support of the WDIC committee, to send a resolution like this right to the university? Would that be a situation that we could emulate with WDIC as I guess the sponsoring body, for lack of a better term, Leslin, because I don't think anybody really wants to vote no on this, but I'm hearing different legislators having reservations about different parts of this. And you said that you really would like to get it done tonight.
There was a letter with similar content that was sent around on email, and we were asked as individuals to sign on. I know I signed that. It was similar comment.
Regarding this issue.
Yeah, yes. Similar information and request to Cornell. So I did sign that as an individual. I think some others of us did. Mm-hmm. That any of us can obviously write a letter to anybody.
Right.
And I think that's certainly, if WDSC wants to make a statement as a committee.
I think Leslin is looking for the force of a resolution. And if we do it the same way, if we suggest that it be done the same way that we had Jim do it from budget to the state on that list, that had a little clout to it, and because we couldn't make the meet, it couldn't make it here. You understand where
right.
I'm going.
So Leslin, you had your hand up or not? I'm not sure.
I did, and no, I forgot what it is I was about to say.
Sure.
It referenced what you were talking about in terms of a letter that, there were legislators who felt strongly enough about this issue that they signed on to a letter asking Cornell to engage in a community dialogue, a town hall type meeting. There were members of the Africana Studies and Research Center here. The director, Dr. Harris, was here, but I know folks had to leave. They weren't invited. They knew that this was on the list and on our agenda, and showed up. because they wanted to speak to the issue. Gary knew that this was on the agenda on behalf of Kernel University. He responded and sent information. So I think there's been, I don't think it's just been in this vacuum that people did not know and could not and did not have an opportunity to speak to it. So that's, you know, just my thoughts.
Okay, Brian and then Will. But I, first I would clarify that I did sign that letter as an individual. It didn't have this kind, didn't have a lot of this in here, and I actually would not support this resolution tonight. So just wanted to clarify. Brian, and then...
I just want to say that I did not see that letter, and had I could sign that as an individual, certainly, but not through a resolution, basically a legal document. I couldn't do that.
Will?
I did sign the letter. I came... I'm not comfortable with our process in this. I really, really wish it had been fully vetted by committee and we had gone through the process of inviting somebody from Cornell. I think we've made some improvements. I thank Carol for her suggestions and Leslin and Nathan for accepting them. The whereas is, as Dooley says, some of them are things that I honestly don't know if it's true. They may be actually debatable. But I think the resolve is something I can support. We're talking for asking for them to slow this down and reevaluate and engage the people who will be most affected, and I can support that.
Are we ready to vote? All right, all in favor of the resolution as revised, as taken as friendly, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Opposed? That's that fails 5-8.
Thank you for considering it.
Thank you for bringing it to us, Leslie. Thanks very much. All right, we have the minutes of the May 17th meeting. Moved by Frank. Second by Brian. Any discussion? All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That passes 11-2. All right. That concludes our main business. I'm afraid I have to say that we have an executive session. I would ask for a motion, and we would not do not expect to go out to take any action after the executive session. This is for personnel matters. Second, motion for executive session. Jim, seconded by Pat. All in favor? Please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. It's up to you guys. Let us take a 5-minute break while they shut down the cameras, and we'll be back.
That's right.